Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together and to open your word. Such an awesome opportunity. Help us as we do that to understand what we studied tonight, be able to apply it to our lives so we can walk the pathway you want us to be on. And encourage us to share it with others as well so they too can come in and know you as their Lord and Savior. Have so much to look forward to. Lead, guide, and direct all this as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Bible study from A to Z. We're in the word believer. And now, chapter 17, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Here we see a prayer of the Lord for the apostles and the disciples. Basically, for the believers. And look at chapter 17, 1 through, well, let's do the whole chapter. Picking it up here in John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And that's an awesome statement right there. It is very, very deep. That last part of that, which I had with thee before the world was. That's before creation, before he spoke all of us into existence. So that emphasizes his deity. It emphasizes, as John points out in John chapter 1, about him being the Word was with God, the Word was God. Third part of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Where you have these belief systems out there that acknowledge Jesus as being a great prophet, a great teacher, but they don't acknowledge him as being deity, God in the flesh. They ignore verses like this. Continuing in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray now for the world. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Of course, he's talking about Judas Iscariot there, the one that was actually of Satan, not of God. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Like we were speaking about Sunday, having the joy of the Lord, which is what we can take confidence in, knowing that it is his joy that we can appreciate and enjoy and receive. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's why this is going out to all believers. This prayer of protection, this prayer for the believers, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This is a very important part here about believers being one. Being of one accord, one mindset, one basic fundamental belief system. And that is in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, he emphasizes that once again. Being one. It shouldn't be, I don't know, what is it, hundreds, if not more, different variations of so-called churches and denominations around the world that claim to be Christian of origin. But yet, you look at them, there's some of them are drastically different. But do they have the one basic fundamental belief? If they put Jesus Christ number one, if they believe and trust in Him as the Son of God, then all those other little differences that seem to split up churches aren't as important. They're insignificant. But yet, too many times, there's way more emphasis put on the little things that people like to get hung up on and aggravated about. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That perfect there means complete. Completely furnished with what you need. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. There again, emphasizing before the foundation of the world, before creation. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. An awesome prayer there for believers. And that's why that one is in our list here. All right, now turn on over to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, we see the ascension taking place. And the ascension took place 40 days after the resurrection. Now in chapter 2, we see the beginning of the receiving of the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost is 10 days after the ascension. Pentecost is 50 days after the resurrection. So you have in chapter 2, verse 1, let's go 1 through 6, and then we'll jump on over to a few other verses, but pick it up here first. Their receiving of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 in verse 1 reads, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. This one's on the list because it's speaking of these devout men, the believers there, the believers in God, believers. They were devout Jews. And they were blessed with the experience of hearing the things that the apostles were saying. Actually, it was about 120 that were given the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. So it was more than just the 11 apostles that were left at that time. I jump on over to 36, and you see this picks back up. After Peter and the others start preaching, and these different peoples that were gathered together, all Jews from different nations, because you remember, they had been taken out during the captivity, where you know the Judah and Benjamin were taken to Babylon for the 70 years occupation there, and the rest of Israel had been scattered about in all the different surrounding nations, and that's why they came back to that area with different languages, because this is some 400 so years since they were taken away from the area of Jerusalem, so they then grew up in areas and learned the languages of those different areas, and they still came to Jerusalem for the observance of the Passover and for Pentecost. So they were in the area for the Pentecost, and they were hearing this preaching, a miraculous ability to be able to hear it in their own languages, because those that were speaking were of the local area that would have been Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. So they were able to speak other languages beyond that were in the other regions. And they preached the gospel to them. And over in verse 36, pick it up here in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That was the right reaction there. They were convicted when hearing the gospel and wanted to know what they needed to do. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Going out to all mankind. And that's the awesome thing about salvation. It's available to all peoples. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." That's awesome sermon results right there. To have 3,000 people repent and turn ourselves over to the Lord. "And it continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Awesome beginning of the New Testament church right there. All of those new believers and coming together and pooling their resources so that they could establish the church. Some people have taken that and tried to apply it to all Christians all the time, ought to act like that, to take everything that you have, all your possessions, and donate them to the church. Sign over your house, your will, your property, and will your entire estate, and let everything be pooled together and then divided up amongst everybody and have a great big commune. But that's not the way that it was prescribed for us to do it. That's the way the beginning of the church did, because they wanted to be able to establish themselves. It was not a practice that was taught for us to continue to do. Even though some churches have done that, even some people have established cults and have taken that practice and say, well, it's in the Bible. Everybody sold all this stuff and pulled it together and started the church. Well, we are giving the direction in the scriptures about the tithes. And the Lord emphasizes the tithes as well. And the tithes is a tenth. And the tenth is in there because that's a projected amount to give, the tenth. In addition to that, offerings. Offerings are to be given so that there can be extra funds for special needs. But the tenth is set in there so that he says 10%. That's 90% that you are supposed to hang on to be used for the honor and the glory on your own management, minus some of the offerings that you give above the tenth. But it's not taught for us to all from that time to give everything that we have to the church. But we are to give every single thing that we have to the Lord. Everything that we can have in our existence, including ourselves, belongs to the Lord. It all came from Him. So we are, as believers in Jesus Christ, supposed to acknowledge and recognize Him as Lord, ultimate authority over everything, as it tells us in His Word, that He bought us with His own blood. Therefore, we ourselves are His. We are to be good stewards in that, and everything belongs to Him. So it isn't like I'm giving Him some of my possession. No, you're not. You're giving Him back some of what He's given you. We've got to keep that right frame of mind when it comes to giving. All right. Right on into Acts chapter 16, we see an awesome event here taking place where we have a couple of apostles been in prison, and their encounter in prison was because they were stirring up the folks by preaching the gospel. So the locals decided, no, this is too much of a disturbance, so they locked them up. But let's get right into the account here, and we see they are in the prison in Acts chapter 16. Let's pick it up in verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now, they had been placed in the deepest, darkest, center part, lowest part of the prison. Now, this particular area didn't have indoor plumbing like you would be accustomed to these days. There were areas of that time period that did have indoor plumbing, actually water in the dwellings and flushed facilities, you might say, but the prisons did not. And in this part of the prison, the lowest point was where everything from all above would run down into the lowest parts, and it was the foulest, stinkiest part of the prison. And that's where they were put, in the center, in the deepest, darkest part they could put them. And note what they were doing. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Were they down there moaning and groaning and cursing and complaining and wailing? No, they were singing songs and praising God. An awesome example for us that even in the midst of the deepest, darkest pit that you could be in, you can still sing songs of praise to the Lord. And suddenly there was great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands was loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Because if a prisoner escapes, well, you're the guard, you wind up being sentenced to death. So he figured, well, they're gone, I might as well kill myself and swift right now. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So this event, seeing these men, seeing the reaction and what they did, moved him so much that he wanted to be like them. What must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And that's awesome there. "And thy house." His whole household would be affected by this. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." An awesome encounter there with Paul and Silas, resulting in an entire family becoming believers. All right, now look on over into Acts chapter 17. We see here in verses 10 through 12, sincere believers. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed. Also of honorable women were, which were Greeks, and of men not a few." So a lot of folks became believers as a result of the mission work of Paul and Silas into this area. And this is an excellent testimony here for them in verse 11, where it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." They were eager and hungry to hear and receive the word of God. "And searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." A very important part there. They wanted to read it for themselves as well. Not just going by what Paul and Silas had told them, but referred back to the Scriptures to confirm what Paul and Silas had told them, which is what you always need to do. Not just go by what the preacher says or the missionary says, or the Sunday school teacher says, or the Bible study teacher says, but where did it come from? Consider the source. Can it be backed up? Is it scriptural? If it's not scriptural, it may just be somebody's opinion. Does that mean it is not correct? Well, sometimes their opinion is based on some studies that they had done in other areas that you might not be checking out, but always consider it as somebody's opinion until you can back it up with scripture. When you're reading the footnotes in your Bible study books or your some of your books, some of your Bibles that have footnotes in it and have comments or commentaries in it, all of those as well. If it is not exactly quoted scripture, it may just be somebody's idea or opinion or personal understanding of the scriptures. Until you study it for yourself, read it, confirm it in the scriptures, and pray, the Holy Ghost will give you the revelation of that, whether it is true or false. A very important thing that always should be done, and that is right like I said it here. Receiving it, receiving the word with a readiness of mind, you want to hear the word of God. And searched the scriptures daily. Study the word. Make sure that what you've heard is correct and can be backed up by the word of God. Whether those things were so. Awesome, sincere, and a good testimony there of those believers. All right, let's roll right into Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, pick it up in verse 13. Acts chapter 19, verse 13, here we see some sins confessed by some new believers. Let's do 13 through 20. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." I love the response here. And there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. It's like they come in thinking all they had to do is call out the name of Jesus or Paul and the evil spirit would obey them. No, it took more than that. They had to be of the Lord as well, which they were not. They were just going through, they wanted the fame and the glory of it. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So they converted away from their sinful deeds and away from their sinful ways, got rid of all that evil books and curious arts, and got away from that because they heard the word of God and chose to believe it accurately and truthfully. And that's all the time we have for today. We'll pick it back up in 1 Corinthians next time as we continue this. We probably finish this up with one more episode and then get into another word. But let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. It is so complete and thorough. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can find the guidelines that we need in the scriptures. Help us to always stay hungry, to dig deep into there, to find that faith-building knowledge, to assure us of the foundation that we need to stand on. And help us to stand on that firmly and boldly, and to preach the gospel and to teach the gospel and to share it to all those around the world that we possibly can, so that more can know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.